Welcome to the Inspired Action Podcast. This is where we have motivational, inspiring conversations and interviews that we hope you'll enjoy listening to.
Join us and other inspired actioneers on this alchemical, transformational journey.
Welcome back to the Inspired Action Podcast. This is pod 123. That's 123. My name is Jay, and I'm here with my co-host, Lita Herman.
Welcome back, Inspired Actioneers. It's great to have you back for more about the five elements and alchemy today. Wow, Jay, we have had so many people get really excited about our last five episodes about the five elements. And I think we've heard the call for more.
Yes. It was like, more please.
More
it
please.
It wasn't a huge call, but it was like, more please.
Okay.
They want to go a little deeper.
Yes. And a few of our acupuncturist listeners, you know, they mentioned that they would love for us to do a little bit of a deeper dive into the elements, in particularly about the yin and yang aspects of those elements.
I guess that's better than jumping off the deep end,
yes.
Going for a deeper dive.
Right.
Right. So, I think this topic is going to be kind of interesting for everyone. Well, we hope it's going to be interesting for everyone, especially the self-cultivators out there, which is a huge part of our listening group. So it's for everyone.
Yes.
If you want to know more about your five elements, you tuned into the right place.
Yes. And because we really think the five elements is so much more than just saying, oh, you're wood or I'm water or, you know, that person over there is earth. We know that human beings are way more complex than that. Nobody wants to be put into a category or a box.
Yeah, especially waters out there.
Yes.
They don't want to be put in a box or a bucket or
yes.
a dam or a pond. They want to just flow, baby, flow. And you know, you said humans, but I think it's all living things. They're
That's
much more
true.
Complex than they look on the outside appearance.
That's true. And we hinted at this next topic that we're going to be going through for another series of episodes. We've hinted on that before, and we're excited to bring it to you
I'm
now.
I'm just going to tell you right now. It's called the yin-yang aspects of each element. It
yes.
doesn't not a sexy title.
No.
It's just like, this is it. It sounds simple. And, you know, I'm in charge of all things simple, right?
Yes.
That's my department. Simple
right.
is my department, but this is like, we're like, let's come up with a cute title. No cute title, just the yin-yang aspects of each element.
Yes.
But maybe we'll have a cute title by the time you hear this.
Maybe.
I may be inspired to come up with something cute.
Yes.
I don't know.
And we love this area in the five elements, and the yin-yang aspects of each element just means that each elemental type, whether you're wood, fire, earth, metal, or water, there's actually two subtypes for each of those. And in the case of fire, there's actually four subtypes.
Of course there is, because it has to be complicated and multidimensionally leveled, right?
Right. It can't be that
can't
simple.
Can't just be that simple,
no.
right?
No.
It's really important for anyone out there who's been listening to this podcast for a long time, because this distinction can help you. Who just, you know, we get a lot of people all the time that says, I'm not sure. They feel like wood, but maybe they don't feel big or big bossy pants or the things that we describe. So maybe we're going to go into some of the nuances of the next level down of this wood. And maybe if you're on the fence of what you are, this will help you fall off the fence.
Right. I really like that. That it's way more nuanced than just an hour-long podcast can go into about wood. So we're going to now hopefully get to those nuances for everyone. And I want you to think of it like a continuum where you as an individual resides along a continuum somewhere between extreme yang, for any of these elements, extreme yang, very outgoing and very active, to extreme yin, very introspective and very sedate.
Yeah, and no one can really just be yin or just yang, because if you think about it, Lita, the whole yin and yang, by their very definition, is constantly in flux, constantly exchanging with each other. If you're, you know, extreme yin must tip into the yang at some point,
yeah.
like a volcano or that infamous geyser
yes.
we took that video of in Iceland that like everyone has seen or not seen. We'll put it in the show notes one more time. You know, every extreme yang state must tip into yin as well. So
yes.
it's like, that's the whole yin
yes.
and yang, right?
Like when the flower blooms, it's just there, not moving or growing or blooming anymore. It's just being beautiful for a moment in time. And then it begins to descend and decay into the endless cycle of life.
No, it's just being. It's being. It's being. It's beautiful.
Yeah, but there's that transition between yin and yang, and it happens everywhere. And I know it's rough being a flower out there, all you fire people, post-bloom. But shout out to all my fires out there. You just have to remember that you're always blooming over and over again. So even as you mature.
Did you say post-bloom?
Yes. Even as, yes.
Bloomopause.
Yes, bloomopause. Even as you mature in age, you will continue to bloom.
Yes. And of course, even if you are that purple flower in the field of yellow flowers, we see you.
Yes.
And it's okay.
Yes.
Bloom, not bloom, bloom, whatever you want. It's okay. We're going to just tell you a little bit more about what it means to be on the continuum.
Yes. So this continuum has a yang side. So let's put yang on the left, you know, just in your mind here. And then on the yin side, you can imagine that being on the far right side. And so on the left, the yang side, it's where all the active people are, the really intense people who are processing all the time. It's going to be different kinds of processing for each elemental type, but no matter whether you're wood, fire, earth, metal, or water, if you're the yang version of one of those elements, you're going to be put on the left side and you're going to always be busy doing something.
So left is where the activity is.
Yes.
Okay,
and then
I got that.
On the yin side, which is all the way to the right, there are the types of people who don't do as much. It's not that they don't ever do anything, but they tend to want to be storing things, different kinds of things, again, depending on their element. But that's their ultimate job. There are things that are precious, like the blood of the body, and there are organs that store the blood so it can be used when it's needed.
Made me think of solar energy.
Yeah.
Like a solar energy battery, right?
Yeah.
We need to place that energy, store it so we can use it later when we need it.
Yes. And it's about storing something precious, a treasure. Then that treasure is given to the yang parts to be utilized so that the person can actively do their life.
So is the treasure energy?
Yes.
Or resources?
Ultimately, it's some aspect of resources. Yes. So we're going to talk today about wood holding the plans. They're holding the vision.
All right. So life can be manifested if something has to be stored up. So you have to store something, then you have it to use it when
yes.
you need it. But what about the hoarders out there?
Yeah. Well, that's a really good point. It's definitely not
I'm not
about,
saying that you know,
right.
it's a bad thing that no, they're out there.
But yeah, you're not supposed to overly store things. You have to use them. They're there to be used.
Yeah.
So if you're hoarding your whatever that thing is that your element is storing, then that just means you're not kind of being in alignment with your life because your life would make you move forward.
Maybe you're hoarding out of fear or
yes.
distrust or
yes.
caution.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So since today's pod is about wood.
Oh, woohoo. Of course it is. Wood always goes first. We have no patience.
Exactly.
We should hoard some of that patience,
yes,
maybe.
Yes, right.
And save it for like times like this.
That would be useful.
Right? Wood, you're going second. No, I'm not standing in line. I'm going first.
Yes.
No, let's do wood. Let's do it.
All right. So let's talk about the yin and yang aspects of wood. So yin, the yin part of wood is the liver in Chinese medicine. So we decided instead of just always talking about the organ name, we're going to give it a little nickname and we call this the visionary.
So we nicknamed the liver the visionary.
Yes. Okay. And that's the liver's job to hold the vision. That's what it is storing, the vision of what we might call the big plans, kind of like a blueprint, like an architect's blueprint.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah, and then we have the yang part, and that's the gallbladder, that's the organ related to it, which is the part that carries out all the plans that the liver created. It creates all the to-do lists, it makes all the decisions needed to execute on the vision, and then it delegates to the helpers to get the job done.
Well, yeah, we had a tough time with that gallbladder nickname. We've
yes.
like tried everything, but basically we came up with the implementer.
Yes.
Kind of like the Terminator.
Yeah,
but
there
like
you
the
go.
The implementer.
Yes.
Again, non-sexy, but
no,
if you
sorry.
Look up the definition, it is on paper what it is.
Yes. It's about getting bleep done.
I would say bleep is shit. Getting shit done.
Okay.
I don't know what bleep is.
Well, in case you want to have a clean podcast, Jay.
clean-ish.
Yeah, there you go.
Getting a lot of clean-ish done.
All right.
No, we get the dirt-ish done too.
Yes.
I like to imagine the liver as the visionary, the cute little name there, as kind of like a trunk of the tree, and the gallbladder, the implementer, as the branches. You know, the liver holds the grand plan, which is represented, again, by that trunk, right? That big stabilizing thing with the concentric rings marking time. We're doing all these tree and wood references yes. here. And then the roots that stabilize it into the ground. It's got a lot of strength.
And that's all liver. That's perfect.
Yeah.
And then the gallbladder is more about the minutiae of life, all those little branches that come out of the trunk. It's like the gallbladder is busily making things like leaves on the tree and having to deal with
and
all those
buds and
yes,
buds.
And buds. And then having to deal with all those pesky birds and bugs. And then there's like early frost that could come and potentially lightning or humans with axes. Mm. So they have to deal with all of that. It's about constantly adapting every second to the changes around you. And you wouldn't need a gallbladder if you were just a single being living on Earth. You'd only need the liver. But because there are all these other people and beings out there, you need to adapt and process your experiences of life. So you always have to adapt to the circumstances around you and change if necessary.
Sure. So Lita, is a person either a visionary or an implementor, or can they be both?
Well, let's look at it like this continuing concept, this implementer type, which is more yang on the left side, and the visionary type, which is more yin on the right side. And then if you're a wood person, you get to place yourself somewhere along that continuum. You might be in the middle.
Yeah, I've been often accused of being on the continuum.
Yes.
I am kind of on my own, and I think it moves.
Yes.
I don't think I'm locked into one place on the continuum, air
yeah.
quotes. I think I kind of move as I've matured through life.
Yeah.
I like to think and maybe say sometimes, I don't really say it, but like I'm an achiever or the implementer.
Right.
Like, you know, achiever's kind of got this little connotation of like, I don't know.
Getting bleep done.
Yeah, getting done. But the implementer, honestly, you know, I do struggle sometimes with the execution of all my visions, which are so exciting to me. I love being a little bit more on the visionary side. That's where I kind of like to hang out, conceiving of visions and grand plans and different things, that, you know, a lot of moving parts. But that doesn't mean I'm not a to-do list person. When I was younger, I had a to-do list for my to-do list.
There you go. That's
right?
So true.
That's so I could get that bleep done.
Yes, and that's exactly where I'd put you, Jay. Slightly more on the visionary yin side of wood, and it's a little easier for you to create the visions and the plans. But the execution...
Well, let's just say I wanted to make sure things didn't fall through the cracks,
yeah.
which happens a lot with wood people.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes you just need someone to help you finish all those projects.
Right, like a team or a team member or, you know, some friends, family, employees, different things. So depending on the project, neighbors...
Yeah.
You know, people in the community. It all depends what crazy idea or vision we have going on.
Yes. And that's what a visionary wood needs. A partner in crime, so to speak.
Or
so,
grime if
or
it's
grime.
Dirty. If it's dirty, like,
yes.
right?
So we'll explain this all in a little bit.
Yes. But wait, first, let's talk about the Alchemy Learning Center and the Inspired Action Podcast, because we have a lot going on. We have lots of classes going on. We have a little sale going on. We were going to say it was like an eclipse sale, but we were... just too lazy to get it done ahead of time. So it's the after eclipse sale. Okay, you didn't miss it, because if you missed the eclipse, you still can get the sale. But
there you go.
You know, we weren't lazy. We were just busy. See, that's the wood. We weren't lazy. Well, certainly, we were just so busy with other projects.
So many ideas to fulfill.
So we have like a lot of classes. And if you're hearing this now, go check it out. We probably will have a tiny little sale. We also have new, you know, that's if you want to do Five Elements, Nine Palaces, Alchemy, Ghost Points. You know, we have a lot of practitioner classes in there, webinars, all kinds of stuff. We have new meditations we're adding all the time.
Yes.
Just a lot of good stuff. And we have our 2024 class schedule coming out for the rest of the year. Keep an eye out for that. That's coming up. We have some good stuff coming up.
And we just wanted to say again, thank you so much to everyone who has written a review.
Woohoo!
We've been hearing a lot from people who are writing reviews, and we love to send out swag as a thank you
yes.
for your very generous offer
so
to
thank
write
you for
a review.
Taking the time and
yes.
doing that, because it does mean a lot. It helps people all over the world find this little podcast.
Yes.
And then you get a t-shirt or a hat or something with our logo on it, and you can say, hey, I'm an Inspired Actioneer.
Yes.
Yes.
There you go.
I'm wearing one right now.
You are, and it's beautiful.
Yes.
And it's working because there are a lot more listeners out there, and we're super excited to
be
sharing
this.
Yes,
more than just us.
More than just us.
And Zena, our dog. She actually doesn't listen anymore. She used to. Now she just goes upstairs.
And she barks.
Goes outside of the world headquarters of the Inspired Action. We have a giant complex campus. But anyways, no. We hear you. We're so grateful that you're listening and writing reviews and telling us how much you love the podcast and sending us your walks. And we get emails every day, literally every day, from someone who's found the podcast, loves the podcast. Just great stuff.
Yeah.
So if you want a t-shirt, hat, logo, something on it that says, "This is what I do with my time. I listen to this podcast."
Yes.
We will send it to you.
And
for free.
Yes. And you can send your emails to Lita@InspiredActionPodcast.com or J@InspiredActionPodcast.com.
Yeah. All right. So being the visionary, let's get back to this vision of this podcast.
There you go. I love it. So even if you've just wondered whether you're wood, but it didn't totally fit, that might be because we often describe both aspects together, like both yin and yang. We don't often make that distinction. And so then some of you've heard about wood, you know, maybe you feel like it doesn't match you entirely. So today this will be really helpful because you'll be able to see where you stand on this continuum.
Yeah. And again, I think this continuum is moved. It's not locked in for life because I know personally that I was a different wood person early in my life than I am now with experiences and time and, you know, maturity and working on my self-cultivation and all these different things. So I just remember, you're not locked into anything.
Yes, but I do think that you have a propensity to, you know, be more yin or more yang in general. And remember, yin and yang constantly exchange. So right. I really think you're right, Jay. It is something that can be moving all the time. But we're trying to get you to be able to understand what type of wood are you.
Sure, and this is a good place to start because, you know, today, you know, it's a good day. I have a lot to get done, and some days I just want to go out and have fun, okay? Yeah. And it can be challenging to go out and have fun with projects and responsibilities and challenges and other people counting on you or waiting for you, and I just want to go out and have fun.
That sounds great.
Like go play golf or go for a run or do something fun.
And obviously moving your body, which is a wood way to have fun.
Yes, yes.
So, and also what Jay's talking about here is if you're full of ideas all the time, you want to actually get the ideas done, but you also want to be having fun. So there's a little bit of tension there, especially for the visionaries. They want to see those plans get executed to move them out into the world. And it's sort of about being in the dawn of life constantly, where the sun is always rising, which is the symbol of hope, hope with a capital H. And there's a new project always being conceived. There's always new plans, new visions. And if you're more of a visionary type or a yin type, you have this in spades. There's virtually no end to your creativity and hope.
And, you know, I love that. I truly am in a state of hope most of the time, at least when we're in a good, happy place, you know, when the wood person's in a good place. But when we're in that challenging, you know, I don't really like good or bad, but if we're in that challenging bad place, if we have to use the word, which can happen really fast, it's that slippery slope to Bleepville.
Yes.
Ishville, right? Then there's no hope, which feels like death almost to a wood person. Like if you lose the hope, lights out. It's really challenging. But the good thing is, just give it a couple minutes or a little bit of time and it'll go right back up to hope because you can't, it's like breathing.
Yeah.
It's like it's just part of the energetics of wood.
Yeah. And you just have to keep generating more plans, more visions. That's the state of hope.
Yeah. I love it. I try. I do it. I try. I know. I try.
And then, Jay, you need one of those implementer types to help you get all the stuff done.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I can be my own implementer, which sounds a little painful, but I do get a lot of stuff on my to-do list, but I don't have to-do lists like I used to have, but whatever I'm working on. For me, it's much more fun to work with people. I love collaboration, but I'm working on everything at the same time. Like I'm always in that mode. Very rarely do I shut it off. I try, but honestly, it's a kind of a working all the time in the background. I know you can relate to that a little bit as well, even though you're fire water, but it's like that, you know, because I'm so passionate about the projects that we're working on, you know, it's almost like I have to force myself to go play golf or
go
for a run or, you know, I can't be, if I go to the beach, just say, oh, go to the beach and lay around. No, I have to go to the beach and collect sea glass or walk around and look for different things or like I can't just, even though it's very relaxing for me to do that.
Right.
So I don't think people really understand that.
Yeah. And then there's the issue of, you know, how are you going to get all these projects done? And you know what it's going to take to get it done. And sometimes the project's small enough that you can do it on your own. But sometimes you don't have a, you know, you have a bazillion projects going on. You're not going to finish them all. You need help.
Yeah. And, you know, I do think that I have a lot of projects on the horizon, right? You always want to have new things. Mm-hmm. I try for me personally, and I hope other people can relate to this, is I try to follow my inspired action as much as possible. I love to get other people inspired, and that inspires me.
And that's a really good point, because it's rare that you can do all these projects all by yourself. So being able to communicate, you know, to other people that you, you know, that you have these good ideas. Is
helpers,
really important.
Collaborators, partners, the team. I just love group energy when we're all working on something together that will make the world a little better place.
Yeah. And those are really great words. The helpers that Woods need to implement on the vision.
Delegator, you know, we like to delegate a lot.
Yes.
All right. So part of being the generator of big projects and big visions is we have to rally the troops to get excited about the projects, the vision, and communicate that well to them. I think this is a lot of the challenges for Wood. If we can't get people to get on board of the project, it could just fall flat. Or as I, you know, just I, for me personally, I like to think it's just not the right time, that this project is not ready to be birthed yet or whatever.
Yeah. This
I think
is
it's
huge.
About timing, you know. And I remember one time you said an analogy of like, would people like to throw out like 20 fishing poles?
Yeah.
Right? All these different projects. And they don't care which one fights on the line. So that's kind of a lot of the times, especially on the smaller projects, we just like to be engaged. We just like to be working on something. We'd love to have, again, that group effort or collaboration and then bring that vision, that project, whether it's small or big or medium, doesn't matter. Yeah. We just like to be working on stuff.
So the big thing that you're getting at, Jay, is for these visionary types, these liver types, you actually have to be able to really communicate to other people. And sometimes wood people don't have fire or earth second or third, and that can be a bit challenging. Like, how can you get people excited about these awesome visions that you have, you know, to get them to share that vision with you? And, you know, that can just be a challenge for some wood people who maybe struggle to share their visions, and that can be quite disappointing
for some. It's devastating for some. It's actually devastating. They might have a vision, a good idea. They might even have really concise, clear plans, but there's no way to execute them by themselves. They can get super bossy pants, overbearing, sometimes mean. And guess what, Lita?
What?
People don't like that.
Yeah.
It's no fun or not good to work for someone who's itchy with a B, right? Or mean, or downright mean.
Yeah.
Okay. Or frustrated.
Right.
And then the project, you know, someone gets frustrated. You just see it unravel all the time. And it doesn't mean it wasn't a good idea or a good vision. They just don't, they need to find a person to help them get that vision to inspire people.
And sometimes the vision is just so good, it works out anyway. I mean, some of the greatest people in history haven't been able to communicate their vision very well, but the vision itself took off and they were just like, there to provide a strategy and maybe help with the execution of
it. All right, I just thought about one example if you want to talk about that. We talk about wood people a lot. And so Steve Jobs of Apple.
Yeah.
So we believe he was wood, metal.
Yeah.
And maybe water.
Yeah.
As the third. So there's no fire, no earth. So communication skills were lacking. And boy, he had a history of the love-hate relationships.
Yeah.
People either loved him or hated him, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But that vision of his was so big. Apple was so, there was just no stopping it.
Right.
Like once that took over. So there are some definitely good examples out there that we could really get that point across. But communication skills is the thought here, especially if you have tons of ideas and you want to see them come to life, come to fruition, create. You know, that's one of my big thing is I like to create things. I like to make things that were, you know, less desirable, more desirable. Or I like to bring beauty to something that someone maybe thought was not beautiful. which is all speculative for sure. But that's what my personal drive is.
Yeah. And so let's talk about this continuum again.
We can continue the continuum
yes.
of these wood people, the types, the visionary, the livers being on the yin element. And let's put them on the left side again, right? And the achievers and the gallbladder, which we are now calling the implementers,
yes.
on the right side. So they actually feel quite different to me, at least the ones that I know. But how would you characterize the differences?
Yes. Well, let's take a step back and talk about this idea of a yin and yang aspect of each element, because this will be true for all the elements. The yin aspect of an element, you know, they're less active overall and they're holding something. And in this case, the wood yin, as we said, holds the visions and the plans. And that's just their job. They do that for all of us. All the rest of the world benefits from this. This is why in ancient times, the liver types were said to hold the office of the general of the armed forces. So if you think about a general, they don't really do that much. They just come up with a lot of strategies.
Yeah, and they might be also taking a big command from above. So this type doesn't necessarily have the big vision. It's about assessing a situation and then conceiving the plans, which is a lot about, you know, assessment strategy, which I also love.
Yeah.
Okay. So again, if you listen to this and you're like, I might be wood or this is some of the things you can start to think about.
Yeah. And I think the general, imagine a general standing at the highest point and overlooking the battlefield. They're adapting to a specific circumstances and coming up with new strategies all the time.
Yes. That's always happening for the visionary wood types, the energy types. It's not just the original idea, it's the constantly adapting and shifting of the vision to meet the current demands of the environment, of the situation, of that present moment.
Yes. And then the gallbladder type comes in, that yang type. And let's just say they're the lieutenant generals. They're the ones down on the battlefield overseeing the execution of the plans. And the general is just holding those plans.
Yeah, the implementer or the achiever takes that vision and sees it through. It makes it happen.
And all the elements have this yin and yang type. So the yang types in all cases are the doers. They actually process things. That's their job. So in your body, Chinese medicine says that the liver holds the blood, for example, and the gallbladder makes sure the blood is distributed everywhere it's needed, especially into the muscles, tendons, and ligaments, so that you can do those fine minutiae jobs.
Which are important.
Yeah. So together, they ensure that the body can move. And that's wood's job, to be able to move your body so that you can fulfill those plans.
If you think about the little plants we always talk about, the sprout, it has to move through the concrete and yeah. puff its way through,
yes.
like or it'll die.
Right.
It has to move forward and then come back. And
yeah.
so I think the implementer gallbladder that's actively doing something while the visionary liver, I love those little names that we call them, right? It doesn't do much. The gallbladder is the active organ. And I imagine that if a visionary person partners up with an implementer person, the duo would make a great team for getting bleep done. The mayor of Bleep Town. Okay? Or what do we say? Bleepville.
Bleepville.
The two mayors of Bleepville. They would get done for
yeah.
sure. It might not always be fun though.
Yeah.
Might not always be fun. But yeah. if they could work it out, they could rule Ishville.
Yeah. We've met a lot of great married couples who are both wood, and it's just like that. Generally speaking, there's a visionary one that ends up being, you know, quote unquote, the boss, and they're not really the boss, but it might be a more bossy pants role, and they lay out the strategy. And then that other person is more of the implementer, that secondary role, and they're actually the ones that actually boss everyone around, because they're the ones that delegate and really help get things done. So the visionary is kind of like the lead actor, and the implementer would be like the supporting actor.
Yes, I like that. And there's a lot of couples out there that are wood. And I also think wood earth,
yes.
with a little bit of wood kicker there, they get a lot of stuff done too. We've met
yes.
a lot of people who are wood married to an earth wood person. You
yes.
know, and they get a lot of stuff done.
They do.
You know, they have to, someone has to come up with the plans and someone has to, you know, implement and execute.
The fine detail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, we've seen that before, and that is just like craziness if it doesn't really go. And then we could also talk a little bit, I don't know if you want to, about the control. Yeah. Like, follow these plans exactly, or giving that other person a little freedom to follow those plans.
Well, a good visionary is like that. I mean, if they're not too in the middle of the continuum and want to do the right execution of the plans themselves, they naturally delegate.
Yeah. I like to empower people to go ahead and make decisions and go ahead and, you know, and if they have any questions, we can talk about it. Like, I like to have an open, you know, exchange.
Yeah.
I don't like to be rigid on those things. But I don't know. Let's talk a little bit about privacy, too, because, you know, I know a lot of wood people don't really like the limelight. So if they're the visionary,
right,
and they're a little bit private, I mean, how does that go?
Yeah, well, it's funny. I was thinking, like, if you were going to make a movie about two wood people, you would think
I don't want to make a movie about two wood people. Movie would that be?
I don't know. Something with Tom Cruise.
Wood and Woodier?
Wood and Woodier?
Yeah, like Dumb and Dumber.
Okay. There you go. Well, let's see. It would have to think of two comedians.
Tom Cruise was married to Bruce Willis.
There you go.
Right?
Wood and Woodier. Right? Definitely. All right. So the idea is that if...
That would be a lot of wood.
That would be a lot of wood for one movie.
It would be too much wood.
The point I was trying to make is that sometimes the visionary isn't out in the limelight and they're kind of hiding in the background, and it looks like the implementer is the star of the show.
Right. And so that can happen even if the other partner is not wood.
Yeah.
Okay. If they're, you know, getting stuff done. All right. That's really cool. We could talk about that, you know, casting our movie another time, but that was kind of fun. But what are there other ways besides movie roles that people can tell the difference between yin and yang types?
Well, it's not always effective to look at people's body types, but there is a body type associated with each of them. The yin types tend to be holding things, so they're a bit rounder, a bit fleshier, a bit more sedentary overall. And the yang types tend to be a little bit taller, maybe skinnier, a bit bonier looking, simply because they are more active in terms of their energy. And even in their facial features, they might look a bit more gaunt than their yin counterparts. But again, this varies, of course, with the amount of weight a person is carrying. So let's say you had two people exactly the same weight and height. The weight on their body might be distributed differently. The yin visionary type might seem a bit fleshier looking in the face, a bit squatter in form, while the yang person might be a bit more gaunt and lanky. And it's just body type. It's trying to fulfill this purpose. Are you the doer or are you the holder? And that's just, you know, one way to look at it.
I think you're onto something here, Alita. I think I'm on the visionary diet because I envision a lot of food and I want to eat it.
There you go.
Right?
Yes.
So I'm the visionary and I'm the implementer there. Wow, that's something.
I said you were in the middle of the continuum.
Right. So that's why the body type is the way it is. I'm going to blame it on that.
Well, I guess a really simple example is that the visionaries move in spurts. They sit back, make plans, and they can be quiet and thinking a lot, and then they move in spurts forward. So we always call it advance and retreat. So they like to fuel themselves with food that gives spurts of energy. You know, I mean, some people even love chocolate.
I love chocolate. I know when the 100-day challenge, you gave up chocolate. I was like, are you crazy? What? No chocolate for 100 days? I also like caffeine a little bit. I mean, and if you could find a way, actually, we have found a way, chocolate and caffeine. There's a company now that puts caffeine in chocolate. I'm not saying that's right. It's actually not even that good, but I do have it occasionally. But I love to have chocolate when I need to do something active with maybe a smile.
Yes.
Because who doesn't smile with chocolate?
Yes.
But I don't like chocolate with sugar because, you know, sugar makes me bonks and sugar-free and, you know, we eat a very clean diet. So, I mean, I don't eat sugar. So,
well, that makes sense because you want the oomph. You don't want the letdown that sugar has afterwards.
Right.
So from a wood visionary perspective, it makes a lot of sense to have caffeine or chocolate or something that's going to energize you without the sugar that might take you down.
That's my visionary diet.
Yeah, there you go. And so let's talk about the implementer. You know, the implementer, they need to move all the time doing tons of stuff. So they don't have like these fits and spurts of activity. So they gravitate more towards protein snacks to help them for longer periods of time.
Which I also relate to because I love a good chocolate protein shake.
There you go.
I think there's a whole industry literally based on combining chocolate with protein. Every single protein powder out there always has a chocolate flavor.
For all the wood people out there.
Absolutely. So yes, I get the protein thing. I understand it completely. And when I'm really down, like my energy, I will go eat protein. Definitely, without a doubt.
It's exactly probably why you're in the middle of the continuum, Jay. And I've really enjoyed your chocolate covered beef jerky with no sugar.
Yes.
It's so delicious.
Yes. So here's the story of the beef jerky. I envisioned a better beef jerky with no sugar, no chemicals, nothing, completely all natural. And our local place, which we love, which I'm certain they don't listen to our podcast, so we can say that, they would not make it for us. We offered to buy the ingredients. We offered to help them with a recipe. And they're like, nope, we don't have time for that. I'm like, okay, great. So I just took it on my own to create our own version. Okay. And I'm pretty sure that's how most creations are made. You know, if you have wood anywhere in your stack up, which you do, right? Embrace the frustration. Just make it the way you want it. Boom. Done and done. Chocolate, coffee, all infused in the beef jerky and no sugar, no chemicals, no added anything. It's just the way I wanted to do it.
So I
could have given up and said, oh, nope, I got to eat crap. But no, I could not.
So that's perfect example of all the wood in the entire continuum, all the way from the vision to the implementation. Fantastic. I love that example.
And even to add more to the win-win, we buy the meat from the place that wouldn't make the jerky for us.
Yes.
So the win-win is we buy the meat.
Grass-fed beef.
Grass-fed beef. They have a sale. We have a product. It's fantastic. So that's the ultimate on the win-win.
So it even took some strategy. So with all the visionaries, it's all about strategies. It's about the big picture. And we often characterize wood to be more like that. But look, you know, here you are implementing it as well. And that's just as big a part of wood. You know, wood people are big people. They have big ideas and big visions. And they end up often leading the pack. Like the leading the teams, the captain of the teams, and they become the boss and they help all of us live a better life, like with chocolate, caffeine covered
jerky. Don't give up. I'm just saying, like, you know, like if you really want something.
Yeah.
And it was kind of fun. It was a little bit of work, but it was fun. And now we have this part, you know, of our diet that we love all the time. So I don't know.
Will you share your recipe in the show notes?
If someone asks, maybe I will.
Okay. All right.
I don't know. It is actually, it takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
It's like a 2-day process.
Yes.
So if you like jerky and you like chocolate and you like caffeine and you have someone who can cut the meat for you.
Yes, that's important.
Make it easy. And you really want the recipe, I will share it with you. It's not hard. It just takes time. It takes like 2 days. But again, we're off on the jerky.
Yes.
Right?
Okay.
I will share my recipe and not be a jerky about it.
Right? There you go.
So when we talk about wood, the wood element on this podcast, we don't often emphasize this aspect more than like the implementer side of things. So for all you implementer gallbladder types out there, this episode is for you. This podcast is for you to understand what it's like to be big, but not that big.
Good point.
Okay, you can still be big.
Yeah, so the implementers might feel like they don't have quite as much presence in the world as we've ascribed to a lot of the woods. They might feel a little more timid, actually, but they are hard workers and they do things extensively. Like they're the ones who have the due diligence to follow through on all these big visions. Yet they're still wood. They still talk about making the world a better place. They're just a bit less forward about the bigness of the vision.
Yeah.
And there's this phrase in Chinese medicine that I never really liked, but it's called gallbladder timidity. And what it means is that up against a big visionary liver type or any strong opinionated person, the implementer gallbladder type will defer to the other person. It's like they just slot themselves into a natural hierarchy and they might defer to any other person in charge, but it doesn't mean they're timid at all. They're amazingly strong and they can go to bat when necessary for sure. It's just that they'd rather avoid confrontation and they might go around something rather than go head to head with someone.
Yeah. In fact, the more distressed they are about the challenge in the situation, the more they will definitely avoid the confrontation unless pushed beyond
Yeah.
Anything, and then they won't. But most of the time, they will completely avoid the confrontation.
And when they're distressed in general, they can lose that gift that they have of flexibility and adaptability. It's the implementer's ability to adapt that is their gift, and it can stop functioning. It's not their natural state to feel tentative at all. Usually, they know what they have to do, and they just do it.
Yeah, and all the woods, you know, the wood energy do this to some extent, really. But again, it's that continuum of where you are on the continuum. The visionaries are more willing to overtly, you know, perhaps go to battle, even if that's the last thing we want to do, like a no-win-win in a battle.
Right.
There's no win-win, okay?
Yeah.
It's only, you know, win-lose.
I know. And both types of wood really struggle when they're not being rewarded for all the good they're doing in the world. If someone's telling them that they're constantly messing up, even if they are on the whole, but maybe in another way, they're doing a really great job too. So you know some other elemental types are really negative towards wood people. And they forget to reward them for the good stuff they are doing. And so they always need, so wood people always need to know they're doing a good job. So if a person is constantly telling them how they've effed up, well, instead of getting combative about it, they might be pushed into timidity, not feeling sure about themselves, retreating further and further into themselves. And that's
not a good scenario.
Yeah.
You know, woods need to feel confident no matter what area you are on the continuum. They need to do their job in the world, and they just need to feel like they can always get that win, even if it's a small win.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about the win-win no matter what's happening in that moment. And so I think they hold on to that vision, hoping that the win-win will come out.
Yes. And the visionaries might go for the big win, and the implementers might work the angles behind the scenes, but still get the win.
Absolutely. And that's the ultimate strategy. How can we all win all the time, win, win, win. Actually, I'm joking with that. We don't need to win all the time. I just don't like to lose.
Right.
Right? There's a big difference. Okay?
Well, that's perfect because I was just going to mention wood frustration, like when you actually lose.
Oh, I remember that day. It was a sad day.
So it doesn't mean that...
And I've been on the planet a long time. But I remember that day.
So this doesn't mean that all woods, including especially the implementers, don't get totally frustrated with annoying situations. They'll complain bitterly about stupid bureaucratic stuff, for example. And that doesn't mean they're going to stand up against it. They might find another way around it. So I've always thought that timidity sounds like an insult to the implementer gallbladder types. But it's kind of just more of a strategy.
As long as there's no resentment attached to it or some underlying, like, you know, something's boiling up, which maybe a little bit more metal.
Yeah.
But as long as it's pure and they can continue to do their stuff, you know, I think it's all part of the recipe, you know. And it's like you have to pick your battles. If you're, you know, getting things done and a lot of projects, you know, you want to try to have them all come to life, mm-hmm. but you have to pick what battle do you want to fight? You don't really want to fight any of them, but sometimes you have to, but probably, you know, not in most cases. I love the analogy. I use it all the time. Happy or right. It kind of diffuses a lot of little events. Do I want to be happy or do I need to be right?
Ah,
right.
Okay.
Or, you
I
know,
like that.
I mean, it's just a way of looking at it. Like, I don't want to fight battles all day.
Yeah.
No way.
No.
That's just wasted energy.
That's going to slow you down. You're not going to get bleep done.
Yeah, it's a wasted energy, and it's not fun.
Right.
It's just not fun. And I think that's also, you know, with the, you know, the implementers, you know, if you're doing all this stuff, they have to have fun.
Yeah.
If wood's not having fun, no one's having fun.
Yeah, there
right?
you go.
You got to have fun.
Yeah.
You got to find the fun in the mix.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking about fun, we have a lot of sports. We have a lot of activities. We have CEOs, and they're kind of like coaches for business people.
Yeah.
And then we have, you know, coaches. And so let's talk a little bit, because there is a lot of wood people that take those roles on.
Yes. And it's not egotistical at all. It's just that's what they do. And they actually feel an obligation to perform that service for the rest of the world. It's their gift. It's the visionary service. I guess that's why they make good coaches.
When they're motivators, they like to lift people up. Mm-hmm. They like to have people, you know, maybe push themselves and see where they can go from there. Like, can they
Yeah. And they're the ones who see the forest for the trees.
Yes. 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 For sure. They like to help people see the forest for the trees and the trees in the forest.
Yeah. There you go. And the implementers can also be good coaches because some people have the vision already. Like, you know, if you're someone who has a vision, but you just don't know how to implement it, guess what? You can go to a coach who's a natural implementer.
Yeah, I've had different coaches in my lifetime that were both wood, like different ones, different kinds. I've had many wood coaches, but there is the different versions for sure. You know,
I think that is a really good indicator of the differences between the visionary and the implementer. If you think of a coach that helps you get some understanding of a vision, they're helping you with this project so you get the vision.
Yeah.
That would be the visionary coach. And then you might want the implementer coach for the minutia of, well, what do you need to do? Do you have to do this? Do you have to do that?
That would be the strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I definitely think that there's a lot of different coaches out there, and not all coaches are wood. But they probably have wood somewhere in the high of the stack out for sure. Yeah. So
ideally, maybe that your coach would have both,
right?
The visionary and the implementer.
That would probably be the best coaches out there for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and again, as long as that frustration doesn't creep in too much and they lose that component of fun, then it's not fun for anyone.
Yeah. And I definitely think if you are a person who doesn't have wood in your top three, like me, wood fourth or fifth, you know, if you have your own business or you're trying to do something, you know, even a simple like healing business like I have, you know, don't try to do it alone. You know, get a wood coach, get someone to help you, even if you just meet with them once a month. You know, listen to them, do what they say, and it will be really successful.
I think that instead of saying do what they say, do what you come up together.
Yeah.
Your plan and what resonates in yours. And I think too many times people just do what other people say without even having that sense of, I always say that you have wood in you too. So find what resonates with your wood. Yeah. And then have your voice. Otherwise, it's just the voice of another person. So again, when we're talking about coaches, this is just my philosophy, my theory. But if you need a coach or someone to help you with woody things, do a collaboration. Tell them what you really want. Ask them questions. They should ask you questions. I always feel people should be like, step into their own decisions and their strategy. So it's their practice.
That's what makes you such a good coach.
I just, you know, people want to, every day when I'm working with people, they're like, just tell me what to do. I'm like, no, don't need to do that. You tell me what you want and we'll make it happen. Right. It's your journey. The wood person will help you implement that.
Yeah.
Right?
That's it. So let's talk about how the liver and visionaries and the gallbladder implementers might face certain challenges in their life. And if you don't mind me going into a little bit of Chinese medicine explanation for a bit, I'll try to explain the different ways wood people can, you know, meet challenges.
Struggles. Challenges, yeah. And they will. Frustrations. That's the number one, like, tripwire.
Right. So the visionaries in Chinese medicine, the liver is in charge of storing the blood, which means that at night, in order for you to sleep well, your heart needs to be quiet, which means that all the blood in your body that isn't necessary for basic functions of your organs needs to retreat to the liver to be stored. Otherwise, when you're dreaming, your body might not know you're asleep and try to fly out the window when you dream you're flying.
That could be a challenge.
Especially
if you live in a high rise.
Yes. When the liver is struggling, you could have insomnia or restlessness at night. So you might be asleep, but you're probably tossing and turning if your liver is tweaked. Now, during the day, we need that blood to be circulating in the body so that all the muscles can move. So the liver needs to let go of that blood at the right time. And then it's the gallbladder's role, the implementer's role, to get everything where it needs to go so we can have the strength and flexibility to walk or jump or run or whatever we have to do to execute the liver's big plans. And that function is called controlling the sinews, which the sinews are the muscles, tendons, and ligaments of the body.
Which would people need? Yeah. They need their muscles, tendons, ligaments to be in good shape, to move them so they can move through the day. And they need to have them taken care of them by moving them. I'll just make a little note. When I work with wood people, I almost insist that they get a massage like every couple of weeks, not as a luxury, as a requirement.
Yeah.
Because they can be really tight.
Yeah.
Because of these muscles, tendons, ligaments that are in the body, if you're not getting the release. So if you're a wood person, bingo, you just got to pass to get a massage.
Yes. Which is why the liver is also in charge of what we call the smooth flow of qi, another Chinese medicine concept. It's about allowing your body to move smoothly through time and space. Liver is in charge of big movements, and the gallbladder is in charge of those fine motor skills.
So, you know, again, that's why many wood people are pretty athletic. If you don't use it, you'll lose it, right? We always say that. Mm-hmm. Movement helps those sinews. Even the sinews of the mind. You need to keep things lubricated, moistened, nourished. Exercise. You need to use that brain.
Yes. Yes, we need to move. And we want to, when we first wake up in the morning, we don't want to be super creaky. The blood needs to go right away to what you need. Or maybe you might have too much blood, like the liver might be overly compensating and you might have cramping or spasms, or you might have too much movement of the mind, you know, people who are really worried. And they've done studies that support that move it or lose it concept.
So you can do it. We can, we go on this whole podcast. You got to move it, move it.
Yes.
You got to move it, move it, right? We'll put that right there.
Move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it.
Yeah. Yeah, you can do puzzles. You can be talking. You can do strategy. You can do, you know, all kinds of things to keep that elder brain in shape.
Yes.
And just keep it moving.
It's like fit.
Yeah.
Just like your body. Your brain also needs to be fit so you don't have rigid thinking.
Right.
You don't cling to habits. You don't become bigoted. You don't, you know, you're open to new ideas. And you don't always have to insist that you have to do things your way.
That's the wood imbalance that we want to keep in balance.
Yes.
You don't want it to get out of balance. It's that's like a tool right there.
Yeah. It's about not seeing obstacles as obstacles, because the gallbladder never thinks of it that way.
Yeah.
The implementer always finds a way around obstacles.
You know, there are no obstacles, only challenges. I say it all the time. Challenges, challenges, challenges. And the challenge is for more greatness and figure out how to move forward in life.
You got it.
Right? You don't want the barricade or the obstacle to stop and then that's it.
Yep.
You got to keep moving.
That's why woods love a good challenge, so they can keep adapting and moving forward and being great.
Yeah, I know a lot of wood people who, you know, kind of give up on being active and laid up. They're like, oh, I'm getting old. I'm like, nope, you don't have to think that way.
Yeah.
You know, like you don't have to slow down. You don't have to be crazy, but you can keep moving. Keep doing the things that you want to do.
Yeah, it's not a good scenario to stop moving at any time if you're wood. And this is often precipitated by some kind of letdown or heartbreak. You know, wood people don't give up unless they have something like that. They don't give up on their bodies just because they're old. They give up because they become disappointed.
Yeah, and I often try to strategize with people and like, all right, so if you can't run marathons anymore, what can you run? If you love to run, let's find a different strategy, a different way, so you don't get disappointed and then angry and then resentful and then blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so like not fun. Remember, if wood's not having fun, no one's having fun.
Yeah.
So you have to find the wood, the fun in the wood.
And if you're feeling disappointed and you're wood, it's about finding your hope again. Wood is not about punishment. It's about reward. The woods are the ones who will give someone a break, another chance, especially if that person's repentant and wants to do better. Wood wants to help you be better.
Okay, so it's hope and fun.
Yeah.
There you go. It doesn't sound too bad, right? And whether you're the visionary liver or the implementer gallbladder, you've got to get shit done and places to go and just got to keep moving forward that direction. You know, you don't want to spend a lot of time looking in the past, and you don't want to spend too much time looking forward, even though you're the visionary, because what you really have is this present moment in time.
Yep.
How do you spend the time right now? And I see a lot of wood people, they get stuck in the visionary.
Yeah, that's true.
Instead of this present moment,
right?
How are you living right in this moment of time? And that's for all of us.
Maybe they're hoarding the visions.
I think they're hoarding the vision. That's right. They're like grabbing them. No. So try not to find that balance.
And it's about knowing when to advance and when to retreat. But even when you retreat, You're forward looking, you're gathering your strength, you're marshaling your muscular forces to go forward and engender your growth.
Yeah, and that's the growth of all of those around you. It's like, not a singular growth.
Yeah, it's like a rallying cry for all of the people around you. Every dawn is a new day, a time for you to start again with something new.
Right, if you can find a way to be as big as you can be, regardless of what people think of you. You know, sometimes, like, you know, would people take a lot of, like, you're bossy, you're big, you're know-it-all. We talked about this in the Other Wood podcast. You're too loud. You know, learn to negotiate in a world in a way that's not shrinking you, but making you grow. Because that is who you are. That's the energetics in you. We all have wood somewhere. You want to be the best, meet the challenges cleverly, inventively, determination, flexibility. We're trying to get you motivated here to go out and be big wood because you are big wood. And that's okay if people don't like it, right?
Yeah.
They don't have to be you. It doesn't mean they have to shut you down because that is the big challenge for wood, is to not get shut down with people who don't have the drive or the vision that you have. Yeah. But then again, you have to see it from their side as well.
Yeah. And if you are not wood, but married to one or raising a wood child, it's time to reward them for just being them and the way they tackle life. Even if you think it's a little too aggressive for
you. I like the word assertive.
Yes.
But I can see aggressive, definitely. Yes. In this day and age, it might be like, ah!
But don't focus on that.
Right.
Focus on the good they're doing with their assertiveness. Don't tell them they're being insensitive. Focus on their actions. If you reward them for how they are doing something, they will always grow, and then you'll reap the rewards with them.
Yeah, it's not the outcome that's important. It's the effort. It's how it's done. It's the, again, this moment in time. It's the movement towards the final outcome. How do they, you know, it's what they say, the journey, not the destination, right? Although wood loves a goal, right?
Yeah.
So they need to have goals. And they need to be rewarded, like Leader said, and they need to grow, and they need the people around them to grow as well.
Yeah.
No wood person wants to grow alone.
Right. And there are no mistakes as long as there's growth. It's about, you know, not the growth being limited in any way by your body not being flexible enough or having too much pain. You know, the health palace is wood. And health for wood is continuous expansion, and to be able to have the agility, the intelligence, the cleverness to continually expand. It's the gate of hope, a liver point, liver 14, that encapsulates all of this into one point on the body.
Yeah, and just think, Lena, if you see a forest with the trees, you don't just see one tree.
Yeah.
Okay, there's many trees and bushes and shrubs and animals and grass.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all growing in harmony.
Yeah.
Okay, it's all growing nature. So go out there. Be the big wood if you want. Be the other wood if you want. Whatever kind of wood you are on the continuum, just, you know, be yourself and be happy. And if you're not wood, maybe you can understand those around you a little bit better. So there's hope for all of us.
There you go.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye. You've been listening to the Inspired Action Podcast, and you've reached the end. Woohoo. Why not celebrate a little bit and click that subscribe button right there? We love having you with us on this journey, and we want it to continue.
You can also rate and review this podcast. And if you have already, thank you so much. We read all reviews, and your reviews help other people find this podcast as well. You can also be a part of this podcast yourself by submitting a voice recording message and emailing it to us at Lita@inspiredactionpodcast.com or J@inspiredactionpodcast.com.
And if you want, you can join our Facebook group or follow us on Instagram.
Join us next week for another Inspired Action conversation. And thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. And remember to hug the dog.
And sometimes you might need to call on someone that we could call your finisher.
Right. Well, I mean, that just sounds wrong. That just sounds so wrong.
I didn't think of it that way. Okay. What's another word? Completer?
I don't know. Which is also called the finisher. No, just joking.